Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
There are actually two groups of people. The Bible says that Jesus's disciples were there. They're what we call the committed ones. That's what we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. That's to be committed. Then the rest of the crowd is made up of who we'll just call the curious. And they're all listening to everything, every word that's coming out of his mouth. I also need to point out that this group of people that he's speaking to, as he's talking about hunger and thirst, it's important to understand that the group that was gathered that day knew a little something about being hungry. Anybody know anything about being hungry? How many can actually go from hunger? Let me just say it this way. How many can get hangry real quick? All the husbands, if that's your wife, just kind of go like this. And all the wives go, yeah, but he can be too. You got to tame the giant. Amen. You got to feed the giant. Yeah, if you've seen Thomas' husband, he's a giant. As a matter of fact, a few of Jesus' disciples are actually known as fishermen. In other words, their occupation was feeding others. They knew a little something about hunger and thirst. I also need to highlight that at this particular time in history, the people in the crowd had been beat down by Roman authority, and it was a very rough time in history for this crowd. I'm just giving you some context. So when Jesus was talking about hunger and thirst, the crowd understood he was talking about something that wasn't guaranteed. They may go days without having something to eat or something to drink. Now, for us in America, we know we're very resourceful. When we get hungry, we got options. Everybody say options. Anybody know anything about Spam? Anybody know anything about fried bologna sandwiches? My mom used to cut the edges. I know that was because it liked to jump up and down on the frying pan, but it actually looked good because you cut it like a star. I thought it was scrumptious and delicious. Ask me when the last time I had a sliced bologna sandwich. It's been a minute. We know a little something about hunger. We're resourceful. We know all about when we're hungry, we go find two slices of bread and peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no jelly. Amen. Everybody go. Yeah, we're resourceful. But these people they understood what Jesus was talking about when he said, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. But there are certain parts of the world where hunger really is a real thing. On this particular day when Jesus was talking about hunger and thirst, everyone that was listening understood that Jesus was talking about finding yourself at a place of desperation. Everybody say that word with me. Say desperation. And I was thinking this week as I was starting to put this together, I think the reason most Christians are weak and have no desire to deepen or strengthen their relationship with God is because they're just not desperate enough. I didn't expect somebody to say amen right there. It's true. I think the reason we find ourselves when our back gets up against the wall, where we find ourselves going, I don't like this, I'm in a pinch, I'm going to step away from church, I'm going to step away from responsibilities, I'm going to step away from my responsibility as a married man. I'm going to step away from my responsibility as a wife. It's tight, I know. Why? Because we're not desperate enough for God in our lives. Come on, somebody say, preach that. Okay. See, Jesus was talking about it being a necessity, that me getting in this word is a necessity. Imagine with me, if you will, what our lives would look like if we actually spent half the amount of time that we do scrolling on our phone in his word. Just half the time. Where would we be? So what he was saying was, if you're going to crave anything, make sure what you're craving is righteousness. Crave righteousness, not as a supplement, but as a means of survival. Jesus makes it clear, and he's saying something will feed you. Let me say that again to you right here and right now. That is so true, even 2,000 years later, over 2,000 years later. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a hunger on the inside of you. I'm not talking about your stomach, and I'm not talking about a thirst, something that you drink to quench a thirst. You are hungry for something. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a relationship with God. And the cool thing about God is, when he created you and I, he created us in his image, and he put inside of us the desire to be filled. But then he left it up to us to decide, what are we going to fill our lives with? So you ask yourself, what am I filling my life with? What table am I pulling up to? What's feeding you? So which brings me to my first point, whatever feeds you will fill you. Whatever feeds you will eventually fill you. So I'm going to ask it again. What's feeding your appetite? What's feeding your appetite? Jesus was telling the people, crave righteousness. Crave righteousness more than money, more than fame, more than accolades, more than IG followers, more than positions, titles, and promotions. Crave what? Righteousness. You may be asking, what is righteousness? The most simplest answer that I can give you. I remember being in Sunday school years ago, and Steve Lyles, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was just a little bitty guy. And he said, righteousness is the desire to be in right standing with God. Right standing with God. The desire to be right with God. That I want God's way above my way. That I want his will above my own. I want God's presence more than my preference. Write that down. You may tell you how you know you're at a desperate place and you're desperate for more of God and less of you. When you actually want more of what he wants for you and you let your preferences go down. People will leave churches because their preference isn't met. God did not call pastoral staffs to check box your preference. Too edgy? I'm not worried about being edgy, but I do have a responsibility to tell you truth. Because it's the truth that you know is what will set you free. If I just give you stuff and tell you, hey, how you're living is great. Be strong and courageous. Keep doing what you're doing. Go out and have a great week. You will not see change in your homes. You will not see change. If I would have withheld what I gave you last week, you would not see the financial favor of God in your finances. The favor of God in your finances. Now, just because I preached on it doesn't mean it's coming until you show action. See, when we let our amen be louder and our claps louder than our action, that was just so everyone around you would go, oh, something's happening there. But God wants to see, are you desperate? Are you more interested in my preference than your own preference? See, he was saying, I want you to get to a place where we want his dreams and his desires and his plan above our own. Listen, y'all, this is why conviction is so important. Everybody say that word with me. Say conviction. Conviction. When's the last time you showed up in church and you got convicted instead of celebrated? Conviction, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, conviction is the proof that your heart actually desires righteousness. If you slip up and do something and it bothers you, you get convicted, that's a sign that you really do desire his preference above your own. I remember talking with somebody years ago at the church that I was on staff at before we moved back to Chiefland. And I remember a man came in my office one day and he was just sharing with me some things that he was doing. And he said, you know, I've just gotten to a place where I'm just not convicted anymore. I said, whoa, we need to talk about that, because that's a different conversation. Because the moment you stop being convicted is the moment that you've suppressed conviction. And we need to talk about, are you even in a place where you can hear the voice of God? Conviction is proof that God is after you. Write that down. When I get convicted, that's proof that God is after me. You thought that you made the decision to be here today, and you did. But can I tell you, God drew you here because he's after your heart. He's after your affection. But unfortunately, what a lot of Christians have a bad habit of doing, and I just said it, and that's we have a tendency of suppressing conviction. The only reason why someone would suppress conviction is because they're convinced, they've convinced themselves of one of two things. Number one, that God is not real. And number two, that God doesn't really care about sin. Let me tell you something. God doesn't change his mind. You heard me say that before. If God didn't care about sin, he would have held Jesus in heaven and said, let them figure it out on their own. He does care about the sin that we go through. And let me just say this. As long as you are on this earth, you are going to have a sin problem. That's why Jesus understood, I have to come. I got to come down. I got to take care of this once and for all. You've heard me say this before. Whatever dog you feed is the dog that will lead. You have two dogs on the inside of you, and you will. And it doesn't matter if you're saved. You'll have still two dogs in the fight. It's a fight. Nudge your neighbor, say, we're in a fight. There are two dogs in the fight, your spirit and your flesh. And whatever dog you feed, if I'm going to feed my flesh is going to rise up every time. But if I feed my spirit will rise and suppress my flesh. And that's what God is saying. That's how we become more righteous. That's why we got to be careful about what we're scrolling through on our phones and what we're reading. Whose podcast we're listening to and whose blog we're reading. Most recently, we've witnessed just how destructive it can be for someone who just listens to the voices around them. The young man who has essentially or being convicted of the murder of Charlie Kirk. What we know of the situation is that he was raised in a good home. Let me just say it that way. I'm like Jesus right now. I'm choosing my words very carefully and strategically and intentional. He was raised in a good home. Everybody around that situation has said it was a shock. But they also said, if you've been reading, that he's been influenced by outside interference. It's important who we're allowing into our ears and into our eye, what we're allowing in our eyes to see. Because it don't matter if you're T.D. Jakes. It don't matter if you're Paula White. Who'd y'all just go see? Joyce Meyer. Thank you. It don't matter. Temptation and sin finds its way to the door of everyone's life. So it matters what you're listening to and who you're listening to and who you surround yourself with. Yeah. See, we're living in a day where the enemy is very strategic in getting people to justify sin. Because we want our preference above his. We want our dreams above his. Listen, there are even those who will rewrite scripture in order to fit sin in their life. Just so they can feel good about their sin. Listen, I don't bring the Bible down to fit my lifestyle. I bring my lifestyle up to fit the Word of God and where the Word of God is. I submit and surrender my preference, my lifestyle to the authority of God's word. Can we just talk about it for a minute? Permission just to talk straight. Can I just pull up at your kitchen table for just a minute? God's word is unchanging. He's not going to change his word to customize and fit your lifestyle and your preference. He never has and he never will. And those that tell you, oh my gosh. He does love everybody. Yes. He loves everybody, but he hates sin. Yeah. Anybody's welcome here. But it's my prayer that that lifestyle or whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever that addiction is, that under the presence of the Holy Spirit, that can be and will be broken in your life. Listen, when your flesh tries to step out in front and do what it wants to, you've got to tell your flesh to sit down. Start starving your flesh. Yeah. Delete Facebook from your phone. Oh my gosh. Oh, I have it. I'm just saying, I wanted just to shock you for a second. Put them on your chest. I can't live without it. TikTok, can't live without it. Starve your flesh. Because the dog that you feed will always be the dog that leads your life. You got to be willing to lay down what you want. You got to be willing to lay down your addictions. You got to be willing to lay down your habits and your preferences. You got to be willing to lay this stuff down regardless of how bad your flesh tells you you got to have it. You don't. The only thing you got to have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Outside of anything else, you're doomed for hell. You can fill your life with everything this world has to offer, but you will still fall short every time, and you'll find yourself needing to pull back up to the table and continue to be filled and fed. But God says, when you allow me to fill you, you'll never be hungry or thirst again. Now, that does not mean that once you do it one time, you never have to come back in here. You got to pull up at the table. You got to pull up at the banqueting table. You got to pull up at his table. The devil knows how to set a table. He knows how to present it and make it look good with all the stuff from Hobby Lobby. He knows what he's doing. He knows to entice you. I know some of y'all ladies were like, baby, we got to get some of that stuff for the house. It's time. Same is true when we go on our phone. Man, I got to get me one of them. Ooh, look at her. He got a six pack. Got to get me one. I'd make fun of it all the time. That little song, that little nursery rhyme song, oh, be careful little eyes, oh, be careful little ears, what you hear is what you see. For the Father above is looking down. Let me tell you something. The Father is looking down, but the enemy is roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. You got to be careful what you let your ears hear. I'm going to get to this in just a minute. You got to be careful what you let your eyes focus on. Because whatever you focus on for any length of time, before too long, it will be up close and personal. Like, whew. Am I talking to anybody in this building today? Jesus said, when you are hungry and you thirst after righteousness, I will fill you. Listen, every single person in this room has a hunger issue and a thirst issue. We all have this desire to be what? Satisfied. People will walk out on marriages because they're not satisfied. Listen, the question is, what's feeding your appetite? Let me say it this way. The devil does know how to set the table. He knows how to dress it. Gentlemen, are you tracking me? Maybe. He knows how to dress it. can't live your life haphazardly, walking around blind, because before too long, you're going to trip up and fall. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. That's Christ. See, God sets a table of peace and things that will help us grow, but the enemy sets traps disguised as meals to distract and destroy us. I was going to take this illustration a little bit further, but for time's sake, I didn't. And I was actually going to put some rat pellets up here and some other things. And I was going to invite you guys to come up. I was going to have some nice fruit up here too and some things that would be delicious that you would like. Maybe even have a fix a steak and let you guys smell it or whatever. But then up here would actually be some traps. There'll be some things that were set to destroy you. See, because once we get here, it's too late. You've pulled up at the enemy's table. He's got you. I'm going to say it again. When you feel your flesh rising up, tell it to sit down. Somebody stopped me at the school right after I spoke. Somebody came up to me and they said, I need help. I need prayer. I had several students came up, but one particular person came up and said, I just feel like I'm going in the wrong direction. I don't know what steps to take. I don't know how to change this. And I said, the Holy Spirit was so cool. It's just immediate. I said, the very first thing you do, if you know you're in the wrong direction, assess, almost there, assess the scenery. I said, what you need to do is change the scenery. How do you do that? That's all you got to do is turn around. That's the first step. The next one is this. Change the scenery. So the moment that you feel like your flesh is rising up, you need to change the scenery. Usually when your flesh is rising up, it's because you're hanging out or you're pulled up to somebody else's table that you shouldn't be sitting at. Huh? Are y'all locked in yet? Remember the story of Adam and Eve? The devil set the table. He set the table. And he's not changed. He's still setting tables. He set the table for Eve and she sat down and ate. Why? Because what he had to offer looked good. Here, eat. Eat of the forbidden fruit. I know it's not a fig or an apple. Eat of the forbidden fruit. Then you shall be as God. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil. You know the story when God came back to the garden to meet them where they would meet all every day. He said, not because he didn't know where they were. He said, where are you? He wanted them to recognize they've moved. And he said, we hid ourselves because we're naked. They've been naked since day one. And he said, who told you you're naked? See, he knew. He already knew. And when God was putting this message together, he already knew who was going to come in and hear it today. The enemy sets table traps to feed your appetite with things that will destroy your destiny. Here's a good rule of thumb. If the table looks good, but it pulls you away from God, it's a trap. If the table looks good, but it pulls you away from God, it's a trap. In Genesis 4:7, God told Cain, he said, you'll be accepted if you do what is right. We all want to be accepted. But is it more important to us to be accepted by our coworkers or God? Don't answer that. Because your actions have to follow what your mouth may have just said. Remember, I'm not worried about being edgy today. I'm worried about presenting you with truth. Because the days are drawing nigh. The days are drawing close. I got to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. What'd God just say? He said, sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching. Come on, say it. Sin is crouching. Where have I heard that before? Where have I heard that? Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That word devour means to eat food or prey. You are the prey of the enemy. He's preying on you. And I'm not talking about this. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession and praying for you. He's praying that you make the right choice. He's God. He could just snap his hands, clap his hands, and make you and force you. But what kind of relationship is that? What kind of marriage is that? We're the bride of Christ. If I made Amy love me, thank God I don't have to make her. It just comes natural. Sorry, she's been out of town for 4 days. What kind of a relationship would that be? It means to eat or eat food or pray hungrily or quickly. Listen, the devil's trying to take you. He's prowling around at your door. Matter of fact, he's actually opening doors and presenting opportunities. And he's on the other side going, hey, look at this. Look at her. Look at him. Look at this job opportunity. Look at this opportunity to move your family. We talked about doors before, but I need you to understand, just because we talked about it doesn't mean the enemy changed his mind. He's been setting tables and crouching around doors for centuries. The enemy is trying to take you out swiftly. He's very intentional and he's very precise. That's why I'm being very intentional and very precise in what I'm giving you today. What am I saying? The enemy is trying to take you out swiftly. And God told Cain, but you must subdue it. Subdue it and be its master. In other words, that sin that's paralyzing you, that addiction that's been ruling over you, I'm talking to you in this room. God said, I've given you authority to subdue it, and not just subdue it, but to be master over it. You control what comes on your phone. Well, it just popped up. Unfollow it. Reset your preference. Reset your preferences. God said sin is going to show up. It's a guarantee. Remember what I told you. As long as you're here on earth, there's two dogs on the inside of you. Your flesh and your spirit. Like I said, it don't matter if you're Mother Teresa or Joyce Meyer. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're Billy Graham. You think Billy Graham didn't have temptation? As far as he did. Jesus had temptation. It's going to crouch at your door waiting for you, but the Lord says you must rule over it. You got to remember, this is the same God who told Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, you must have dominion over the earth and subdue it. Take ownership. Be over it. So the same God who gave us dominion over the earth is saying, I have given you dominion over sin. Adam and Eve failed. But you can have dominion because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you, my friend, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Somebody said, well, I hadn't heard it. Stop subduing his voice. God said, it's your responsibility. Everybody say that. Say, it's my responsibility. Write that down. It's my responsibility to tell my flesh, sit down. Amy was, can I be transparent? Amy was getting her hair done before they left to go out of town. And I was sitting in the car and I was watching some stuff on my phone. And it was the end of the day, apparently, for this place of business she was at. And this girl walked out in a very tight black sheen outfit. She might have well not even had an outfit on. You might look once, but you have the authority to not look again. I'm talking to the men in the house. I was like, dear Lord Jesus, help me and help her. Think more highly of yourself. You know the material that they have these days. If it's black and sheen, it's transparent. Is this too real? So what'd you do, Pastor? I told my flesh to sit down. Oh, I was already in my car seated down, but I told my flesh to sit down. You keep your head in your phone. We play with sin like it's a pet. Cute little puppy. That puppy will grow up and bite you. That kitty may be sweet right now, but that kitty have claws. Listen, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Don't pet it. Don't play with sin. Rule over it. Tell it no. Tell your flesh to sit down. Maybe that's your new vocabulary for the week that every one of us can use. I was going to Gainesville yesterday. Somebody started passing me on a double line, and I was scooting. And they were going up a hill. And I was like, dear, I let off my brake because I'm like, if they get hit head on, cars and parts are going everywhere, and I don't want to be in the middle. But I was like, you idiot. And we got up to the light in Archer, and I'm like, you got real far, didn't you, buddy? But my flesh for a minute wanted to be like, tell him something. Pastor. That's how the devil talks to me. Go tell him, Pastor. Tell your flesh to sit down. I'll guarantee you. Say it with me. Flesh, sit down. I promise you, you will have an opportunity to say that before this day is through. Next week, as we open up, after I say welcome to church and welcome to Release City, how many said it this week? I just want to know. Tell your flesh to sit down. Sin must be ruled over, not pacified. Write that down. Stop pacifying the sin that's crouching at your door. When you know that it's there, when you know his knock, when you know and recognize his knock, keep the door closed. Yeah. Yes. Don't be peeking through the window. Hey, Mr. Devil. Hey, little puppies. Because the moment it's just like a dog. You rescue a dog. You see a dog that's clearly don't have an owner. I'm a sucker. I'll bring puppy to the house. Somebody got to feed puppy. The moment you open the door to check things out, he's already checked the box and said, I've got him. I've got her. I'm almost done. Someone may be thinking, why do I keep the door closed? Nobody knows my sin is a secret. Secret sin. Don't look at me holy and pious. You got one. James 1, 14 through 16 says this. Temptation comes from our what? own desires which entice us and drag us away. It's not the devil putting it in there. It's already there. Why? Because that dog is in there. It's called your flesh. He's just opening and unlocking and saying, come on in. He's pulling what's already in there out. That's why we tell our flesh to sit down. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The wages of sin is what? Death. Did you see what it said? It straight up told us that we're being tempted by our own desires. And then the second part of this verse also said, sin doesn't show up in our life as full-blown sin. Most people who find themselves in drug-induced places, it didn't usually start out with the hard stuff. It probably started out with a cigarette. Matter of fact, it probably started out in the 80s, us as kids, and we had those little white candy sticks with the red tip on the end. Make sure you get the red tip because that thing's got to show that it's being lit. The enemy knows what he's doing. He knows how to set the table. He knows how to put that in your memory bank for use at a later date. Sin doesn't show up. We don't just wake up, I think I'm going to go cheat on my spouse today. I think I'm going to send a text to her. She's so fine. It'll be a secret. If you did it on a cell phone, it ain't a secret. It's in the cloud. Boy, it just got real quiet. What do I mean? Sin doesn't show up grown. Ladies, when you had a baby, that baby didn't come out full grown. Aren't you glad? It came out as a baby. What do I mean? Desires get pregnant. It gives birth to sin. Then sin still has to grow, which means something has to feed it. What's feeding your appetite? I got to move through this. Here's the problem. The devil has a way of introducing sin into our life like it's cute. Oh, it's just a text. It's just a DM. It's just spending one night together. Just one night. And we're not married. Then before you know it, it gets fully grown and you can't kick it out. Why? Because it's too strong for you to kick it out in your own strength. So you play with it before too long, it'll grow up and it'll bring death. See, now that sin that is fully grown, it says, this is my house. You let me in. I'm not going anywhere. And you wonder why you can't stop. You need to close the door. See, lust says, I can't go, no, I'm not going anywhere. Pornography says, this is my house, I'm not going anywhere. Alcoholism says, I'm not going anywhere. Why? Because you've entertained it for too long. And the Bible says, the devil will tempt you with your own desires. Gentlemen, the devil knows what we want. Ladies, the devil knows how to set your table too. Words of encouragement and affirmation. He knows you need it. And he'll set the table. He'll give you your own personal candlelight dinner. With the fragrance that you like. See, the enemy knows what kind of love and attention you desire. How's that? Because he's been studying your life your entire life. He knows you. It was no accident that she walked out of that salon the other day. It's like I told the kids the other day. Alcohol and drugs were never my hang-up. But girls were my hang-up. And the devil just wanted to see, can I hang him up on this? Will he look again? the girl coming out of the store. Yeah, you give it a crack, he'll kick it wide open. He'll knock it off its hinges. Let me say this. The desire, write this down. The desire itself is not sin. If you're wondering when I'm going to wrap this up, you just give me just a few more minutes. I'm going to get through. I'm almost done. But I got to give you all of this so we can pick this right back up next week. The desire is not sin. This is important because some of you have been beating yourself up over desires. Listen, you're human. Just tell your flesh, shut up, sit down. The desire is not sin, but desire does have the ability to get impregnated. And when desire and sin hang out together, after a while, conception will happen. The next question you may be asking is, how does my desire get pregnant? Write this down. My desire becomes pregnant when my desire gets entertained. My desire becomes pregnant when my desire is entertained. Let me go all the way back to the video. I've got to stop feeding evil desires. I got to stop feeding them. Don't even give the enemy a place to put it. Did you hear me? Don't even give the enemy a place to put it. Because if you give him a place, it's just like saying, I'm going to check the window to see if it's really the devil at the door. You know it's the devil. If it makes your flesh wake up, it's the devil. Okay. Some of you are like, I'm nervous about what he's going to say. Listen, if porn is an evil desire that you struggle with, you can't be watching rated R movies. Let me say it this way. You can't be watching TV shows or movies that have sex scenes in it. If porn is an evil desire that's inside of you, listen, I'm 50 years old, and when Amy and I are watching TV or Netflix or whatever, if there's a scene that comes up and they're tussling too much in the room, I'm reaching for it. I don't need to see Megan Fox like that. Yeah. I don't need to see somebody I thought was good do something bad. Yeah. True or not true? Because if you feed it, if you feed it, it's just a show. That's what I said. It's just a puppy. Sorry about that. What am I saying? Don't feed the desire. Let me say it this way, and then I'll bring it down. As Christians, I said it. As Christians, we've got to stop pulling up to tables that the enemy has set before us and feeding our sinful desires. Christians. Now, talking about the people in the world, talking about us. Here's where it gets real. If we don't get a hold of what we're consuming, it will eventually consume us. Yeah, write it down this way. Whatever I continually consume will eventually consume me. Whatever you open the door for, don't be surprised when the enemy moves in and closes the door and says, I ain't going nowhere. Did you hear what I said? Don't allow him to move in. In closing, I know it seems like I've been very direct today, and I am, because the enemy's not messing around, ladies and gentlemen. If you think we're, I think we've been rolling up at churches and doing church for too long. And if the evil, I don't care where you sit on the political spectrum. Anytime somebody celebrates what the Bible calls is evil, when you celebrate what the Bible calls evil, evil is not far from you. Period. The days of just coming in and going, man, I hope this isn't a message that makes me feel uncomfortable. Those days got to be over, y'all. I ought to stop coming to church. Those days have to be over too. We can't be like the other crowd on the mount, just the curious. Curious Christians. Curious George, curious Christians. I'm just curious what they're going to say today. I might take some of that. Might take some of that. Yeah, don't like that. No. The other crowd was the committed ones. We got to be committed to his preference, not our own. And let me tell you something. The more and more you tell your flesh to sit down, the easier it will be. Just like I told the young lady, just change the scenery. Take one step. Just one. Don't go off in a full sprint to try to change the scenery. Just one step. Don't look back. Just one step. And then focus on what the next step is. And the next step. And the next step. And before too long, you'll realize, I'm nowhere near where I was. The more and more you get comfortable with telling your flesh to sit down, that you are the master over it, the easier it will become to tell it. Oh, it'll be hard the first time. I'm being direct because the devil has a target on your back and your family's back. And my responsibility is to tell you the truth, because sin grows in dark places, and my responsibility is to present you with the light of truth. Today, I believe that God has been speaking to many of you, Adam, get ready, about areas that you've been entertaining in your life. Tables that you've been pulling up to. Desires that you've laughed off and just continue to carelessly entertain. And God brought you here today so he could tell you, wake up. Wake up. Release City Church. Wake up before it's too late. Here's God's warning. Could the table that you're pulling up to, the relationships that you have, the places that you go, the things that you allow in your home through TV and phone and internet, could it be a trap? Could it be a trap? I'll leave you with the final question as he's coming. What's feeding your appetite? What's feeding your appetite? Would you stand all over this room? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here and say, Pastor B, I've been entertaining some things. There's no categorical sins. In other words, there's no big sins or little sins with God. Talking about your brother behind their back is the same thing as putting a gun to their head and pulling the trigger. Does that show you there's no difference? If you're here today and you say, I've been entertaining some things, there might actually be some desires that I've allowed to be conceived. And today I want your prayers, Pastor Bradley. Will you pray for me? Nobody's looking around. Matter of fact, this is between you and God. He already knows, just like he knew where Adam, he knew Adam and Eve were hiding. He just wanted them to recognize they weren't where they normally are. He already knows. The first step to changing the scenery is saying, recognizing that the scenery you're looking at could be lethal and deadly. And today, God is looking for desperation. So if you're here and you say, there's some things that I've been entertaining, and I don't want it to grow in me. I want to subdue it, and I want to be master over it. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just lift your hand all over this room? Hands are all up. Just leave them up. Leave them up. Leave them up. Leave them up. I don't want this to grow. I want to be the master over it. And hear my voice. You can and you will. And that hand in the air right now is the first step to becoming master over the thing the enemy has sent to destroy you. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, as our hands are going up all over this room, if you want to get in on this prayer, get your hand up. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will remove every seed that the enemy has planted within our lives. Father, forgive us for things that we've allowed to entertain us and things that we have permitted to entertain in our lives. And God, I ask in the name of Jesus, just as you shut the door on Noah and shut them in, God, I'm asking right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will shut the door to areas that we have opened for the enemy to come in and make himself at home. And Father, we stand on your word that doors that you shut, no man can open. And God, I'm asking for an unexplainable boldness to come over every single person that has said, I have been guilty. God, give them the ability to tell their flesh, sit down. In Jesus' name. So that we can be used to further advance your kingdom, and that we won't be a Ponzi or a pawn of the enemy. That the enemy will have to watch out for us. No longer being defensive Christians, but Christians on the offense. Because the day and the hour is short. So say this with me. Say, forgive me, God, for the areas that I've entertained or I've let myself be entertained by. Forgive me now in Jesus' name. I repent. I ask for forgiveness. And I thank you for your forgiving power now in Jesus' name. My life belongs to you. It's your preference over mine. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.